We have a real enemy that seeks to destroy us, and he uses temptation to sin in the process. But next, on Sound Doctrine, we discover we have a God that loves us, stands ready to help us win that battle.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Temptation, it is something we all deal with, even Jesus did, but there's a right and wrong way to handle it. If you go about it in your own strength, expect to lose. But if you rely on the Lord and follow His word, victory is yours. Welcome to Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is about to finish the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. In part 2 of his message, Seek and You Shall Find, let's see together what it takes to overcome temptation.
So we're to avoid these compromising situations. And you know the story in Genesis 39 of Joseph. Joseph was a good man. He was 17. The juices were going, man. And this woman saw him because he got a job working for Potiphar. And he was watching over the land, and he was, God was blessing him, got him out of prison. He was doing well. Then Potiphar's wife saw Joseph, good-looking young man. And she says, I want you in bed now. Let's go. Come. He went, oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You're the wife of my employer. And how can I do this thing and sin against God? Notice what he said. 17. She's naked in front of him. Come on. And he's going, no way. Where'd he get that? He got it because he was raised in the scripture. He was raised by a mother that loved the Lord, or a dad that loved the Lord. And as he was raised, he saw it, that this is the truth. And this is danger, man. And what did he do? He fled out of that place. She grabbed for him and she ripped his clothes off and he ran naked out of the place. I mean, crazy. But he ran. He fled. And that's what we need to say. We need to say, no, I'm getting out of this. I'm going to flee. I'm going to run. And this individual is like someone who would go in and go into a library and I just want to read a book. I think I'm going to try this book. It looks weird, but I'll sit down and kind of open it up, and I'm going to try to read this, and I'll get into it. And all of a sudden, as you're getting into the book, then the filth comes out. The foul words are encountered. And this person is overcome with chariots of Amminadab. That's what the chariots of Amminadab are. They come in and they seduce you. They bring you into a bad place. And there's two choices you can make on this. You can go with the flesh and continue to read the book. Well, it's pretty dirty, but hey, nobody's around. Yeah, okay. And continue to feed your flesh with it and get into it. Or number two, you can do the sensible thing, and that is to put the book back. Because, you know, it was innocent, right? He just went in to look for a book. Boom. Got a choice to make now. What are you going to do? It's important. And then after you put the book back, you got to apologize to the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because you're a Christian. And you just grieve the Spirit of God for allowing that you took into this temple to be defiled. Even unwittingly, you didn't even plan it. You got sucked into it. It happens all the time. Guy walks into a liquor store. First of all, why are you in that liquor store? I don't know. I'm just going to get some gum. So you walk in there, and everything in there is not a good thing. The magazines are there. And then as you go in, the liquor's over there. You know, and anything you want. And we just unwittingly go in there and get sucked into something we shouldn't be a part of. And that's part of our lives. We're confronted with this daily. Choices to be made. Temptation is right there. So I would say that as this Shulamite woman would continue to see Solomon coming on to her, so we see the enemy, Satan, coming on to us to pull us away from our beloved shepherd king, trying to rip us off to do something that would put us in a place of distance. Like, remember Peter? He was following afar off. And many of you might be finding yourself following afar off from the Lord. You feel distance, but you know you're born again. You know you're saved because you've received Jesus and your life has changed. But you're still so distant. So notice verse 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. This is Solomon. Return, return, that we may look upon you. And then the last part is this: what will you see in the Shulamite, she says, as it were the company of two armies? What do you want to see? So she turned her back and walked away, didn't even give a second look to Solomon, just walked away to the man who was the wisest, richest man in the world. She had a greater love. She knew her greater love. Do you? Do you know who loves you? If you open your Bible, guess what? You're going to find out, Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. He loves me with an everlasting love. And I'm unique. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I've overcome the wicked one. Come on. He's given me victory. I walk with God. I make choices by the word of God, not by my own mind, because I get in trouble. I make bad choices. Do you relate to that? We do. We're not, you know, captain of our own ship, master of our destiny. That's out the window. We now know the Lord, and we pray for his will to be done in our lives. Not that we would get our will done. We're submitting to him. So this is the first time that Solomon mentions the Shulamite. Shulamite is another name for Shulam, which is an area of the country where the most beautiful women come from. And, of course, this Shulamite girl is the fairest among all women. And that's what he's saying here. You're the top of all. Oh, just to get a hold of you. What's wrong with you, Solomon? You got 700 women? I mean, 300 are my concubines. What's your problem? You see, even the wisest and richest man are distant, can be distant. Look what Solomon, how he dealt with his son. His son hated his guts, wanted to kill him. He raised a son that would cause civil war in the country. But he was always asking God, oh, my son. Or he wrote the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He wrote to his son. He was always concerned about his son. But he wasn't a good example. How do you hand something like that down as you're watching dad do his thing with all these women and everything? Well, that's neat. That's my future. Awesome. Let's do it. We are to represent him well. And I think the only way we're going to represent him well is just to go after a commitment, us and him, just to dedicate and commit our lives to him. And he'll use us. We'll be lights in a dark place. So what's going on here? Solomon's flattery is the heady kind. He's just really wanting to flatter her in a way to win her over. Come back, he says, return. He's trying to seduce her to be unfaithful to her beloved shepherd. To leave the one I love to go after someone else or something else. There's a song, I think, that it's an older song written. You know, help me, Lord, because I feel a wooing to leave the one I love. And it's always out there. And the enemy's always wooing us. And it's a decision we have to make. Am I going to walk with God? Or am I going to walk away from him? I mean, when he came to save us, to deliver us, to free us from the flesh, from the lies of the enemy, and from this crooked, lying world, oh, we're blowing it if we don't turn to him. But you know what? He doesn't turn. He's going to get angry. And even she says, and the bottom of verse 13, what shall you see in the Shulamite? What are you asking me to do? Solomon and his court wanted her to lower herself, to display herself in a sexual dance, because that two armies is in over in the Middle East is a sensual dance that they do. And that's what he's asking her to do. Unbelievable. She's totally rejected his crudeness, his suggestiveness. I'm not going to do it. And he's revealing his carnality. I mean, he's a carnal man when it comes to the lust of the flesh. We see that for sure. As soon as we say no to the temptation, can you imagine how angry the enemy gets when we're not yielding? Well, he keeps trying, but when we're not yielding, we're steadying on. We're doing our best, committing the rest. I will go to church. I will go to Bible study. I will go to the prayer meeting. This is what I need. This is how I grow. Faith comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. And so he's getting really angry now, and we're going to see that as we move along in Song of Solomon, that his true colors are really coming out. It's like Potiphar's wife. When she couldn't have Joseph, what did she do? She yelled rape and got Joseph thrown in prison. He never touched her. He wouldn't. And she calls it rape. Why? Because she's angry. That's how the enemy gets angry, when we're not listening to his suggestions and wooing us. And we say, no, Satan, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. Listen, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We've got the victory, guys. We got to steady on in that. I'm going to end with the four scriptures. If you want to peruse with me, if you're good at, you know, flipping through the pages, if not, just listen or just write it down. The first one is James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace, whereof he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're a macho guy, you don't have a chance. You got to let go of that. I'm a man. You know, I'm going to do it my way. Frank Sinatra said that. I don't know if he made it. I don't know where he's at today. I really don't. Because when you do it your way, it can get messed up. To be proud is to be messed up. You humble yourself. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I like that, because that's the first thing we need to do, is just say, Lord, I submit my life to you. I give you my life. And then it says, resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil until you submit your life to the Lord. And then he says, and he will flee from you. Remember Jesus? It is written, Satan, you tell him you're going to give me all these things. Hey, listen, my God says, thou shalt worship him, and him only shall you worship. Three times. And what happened? The devil fled with a tail between his legs. I'm trying to flee my situation. Yeah, you know, I've tried the three times. No, come on. We got to go more than three. We're not Jesus. He did it with authority, you know, and it is written, Satan, you know, and boom, blew him away. But we got to do it a few more times, I think, till we get it. And we stand on what God says and not what we believe or what the world says is the way. No, he said, I am the only way to the Father. No man goes to heaven but through me. And then he says, draw near to God, and guess what? I'll draw near to you. I love that. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Double-minded is you got one foot on the dock and one on the rowboat, and the rowboat's leaving. And that hurts. Make a decision. Get in the boat or get in the land. Make a decision. Don't be double-minded. And then verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why? Why this mourning? Because we mourn over our sin, over what the enemy's doing in our world today, what he's doing in our families today. We cry out to God. But then when we do that, hey, there's a joy that comes in and a happiness and a peace that passes human understanding. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And then he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I mean, who doesn't want to be lifted up, especially by God, and put into a position of being a witness for him and being effective for him where we work, where we go to school, where we live? I mean, he'll lift you up in your neighborhood. He'll cause you to be a light, even when you feel like you're not, even when you're in your job and you're just plugging away, and yet you let somebody know you're a Christian. They're checking you out. I'm going to see this Christian. I'm going to see what he does or what he says. You know, people really want to see a real Christian that loves God and will choose nothing else but him and him alone. This is a commitment and a dedication that is unique for the church. That's why we stand here today and why we gather, because the Lord loves us. The second one is 1 Peter 5, verse 7, just a few pages further on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. And so when those trials come, you just give them to him. Lord, you see what the enemy's trying to do. You see this, you see that. Help me to be strong. I want to be strong in you. So that's why we cast our care upon the Lord. And so we can sleep at night too. But then in the morning, sometimes we go, oh, I'll take that back. Oh gosh, I can't believe it. And then we take it back. We got to give it to him again and again and again. We're trusting him with it. I mean, you trusted him for your salvation. Is that pretty heavy? That he saved you? That he gave his son to die for you? You trusted him for your salvation, right? Then trust him with the little problems that come through life. Come on. Salvation is huge. And the problems there is piddly. Come on, when you really get down. And then he says, be sober and vigilant. Be on guard. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to look for those that say they're a Christian, that are trying to be a Christian, yet aren't picking up the Bible, aren't serving the Lord, aren't seeking the Lord, and those are the ones he's going to devour because they have no foundation. They're not standing on the scriptures, and they're ripped off, and it happens all the time. We need to be careful. We have a real enemy, but we have a real Lord who loves us. Remember over in Luke, he says, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you and that you would have your faith would not fail and that you would overcome the enemy. I'm praying for you. I love that scripture. And he prays for each of us to make it, to go for it, to get it. And that's why he speaks to us in times like this. Or somebody will come up to you in the store and just start to lay a whole thing on you. Where you been? I haven't seen you in church. What's going on? And you're going, I don't want to talk to this guy. You know, get out of my face, man. I mean, no, I care about you. What's going on? You know, and just being a witness. And the next one is, we already read half of it. It's in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Remember, stand in his strength. But then it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil, the lies of the enemy, the temptations that are in our world, that we'll be able to stand against it and say as Joseph, no, I'm out of here. Boom, just like that. But he went to jail. Hey, sometimes, you know, it happens that way. But God had a plan for him in jail. You know, yeah, he was wrongly committed to prison. But God raised him up to be second Pharaoh. Come on, God works everything for good. You know, that's our scripture this year for our school. The kids picked it. Genesis 50:20. Joseph said, "You meant it evil to me, but my God turned this whole thing around and used it for good to see many saved." And he saved Egypt. Joseph saved Egypt. And that's why God calls Egypt my children. I mean, even to this day, protecting, you know, the family when they went down there to hide. I mean, he turns it around. And finally, the last one, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. I'm going to give you peace that passes human understanding and not of evil. I'm not after, you know, wiping you out. I'm after holding you up to give you an expected end, a blessing of hope. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." I will listen to your prayers. Do you know that God hears the prayers of a righteous man or woman? He hears your prayers. So once you give it to him, you got to wait for the answer. And it'll come. And you say, "But I've been praying for years." Well, sometimes it takes years. Don't be impatient. God's not impatient. He's letting things simmer and go just what he needs to happen to bring it, bring that hope, to bring that peace. And then he says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." That's all it takes. He just wants all of your heart, every little part of your heart. That's a relationship. Remember when you had your first love? "Oh, I'm smitten. I love her so much, you know. I can't even eat, you know, whatever." That's the heart where you're totally taken in by his beauty, of his care for you, of his protection of you, of who he is to you. And you're just overwhelmed. And you stay there and worship him and wait on him and watch him do great things. And then finally, verse 14, it says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Bottom line, he wants to save you, change you, take you out of your bondage, whatever it might be, that you've maybe put on your back. It's a burden. It's a load. But Jesus says, "Just let me take it. You know, I love you. Lay down your burdens, and I'll pick them up, and I'll walk with you and talk with you and lead you in your life."
You're listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. We've been in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and what you just heard is the second message in a two-part study called Seek and You Shall Find. You can request the CD set when you call 800-353-7553. That's 800-353-7553. You know, each day we like to recommend a resource that contains sound doctrine, and it'll help you greatly in your relationship with the Lord. Well, today we'd like to tell you about The Attributes of God by Rose Publishing. Maybe you've wondered, who is God? Do you think of him as some old confused grandfather sitting in the clouds? Maybe he's a loving father, righteous judge, and merciful king. What we believe about God really makes a difference in how we worship, behave, and actually live out our lives in His grace. This pamphlet underscores 25 key traits of God. It comes with both explanation and application, and it's just $6. So maybe request one or two extra to give away. We can take your request at 800-353-7553, or just go online to sounddoctrineradio.org. Anything given above that amount will help us continue the ministry on this station, and it provides sound doctrine to listeners all across the world. Thank you for standing with us at the beginning of a new year. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. We want to hear what God is up to in your life and how He is using sound doctrine in your life. It's very encouraging, and it's an opportunity to thank the Lord for what He's doing. Would you reach out to us and let us know? You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And then come back tomorrow when Pastor Jeff will return to our series in the Song of Solomon. That's right here on Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father.